God, it's like owning a pug.
No, that would be like...
I'm not sure whether this sounds more grossly sexual, like more obscene, or whether it sounds more like an old chitty chitty bang bang jalopy starting.
Greetings, Apropossy, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa
James.
And that's it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, just overlay a chitty bang bang chitty chitty bang bang over the top of that, and yep.
Whew.
No, that's well done.
Fuck.
Let's drink after that.
Yeah, I think we better have.
All right. Well, I will preface this drink with a slight story about what I did this last week and why I wasn't around. My family and I, we all took a trip to the Great White North. And by that, I mean the Great Green North, because it's not winter.
Right.
But it was still the Great North. We went up to the Boundary Waters of Minnesota, the boundary between the United States and Canada, where all of the lakes and the mountains are.
That's where we keep them.
Yep. Very, very pretty. But,
for tax reasons. So
I'll go into that more in a little bit. But on our drive up there, we're heading up and we're driving and we get up to about Cloquet area, you know, kind of we're in that area. And we get to a town, Moose Lake. And we're like, hey, kids are getting hungry. We're getting hungry. It's about that time. Let's stop and get some food.
Oh.
Here in the next little town that pops up that's got a place to eat. And we're like, cool. And then we get to Moose Lake. And we're like, here, Moose Lake. This looks like a nice little place to grab some food. And wouldn't you know it, we enter Moose Lake and there's a brewery on the edge of town.
Well.
Because that's how I travel, apparently.
Yeah. I imagine your Skyrim map is just a series of little points directly over breweries for fast travel.
We often, my wife loves to joke that somehow all of my vacations turn into brewery tours.
Oh, sure.
And a year or so ago, we went up to Duluth, just the two of us. To you know, have a nice date, because we wanted some time, just the two of us, for our anniversary or something. And we're like, yeah, while we're up here, let's stop and fill up the growlers that I have. And
oh yeah, honey, we're getting away for a romantic weekend.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you're like quietly petting the growlers off in the... Don't worry, babies.
We came
You're
back.
My real loves.
Yeah, yeah. We came back. The back of our car was a big fucking cardboard box full of growlers and growlers and stuff like that. And again, my wife was happy to do it, because we'd stop in a place and I'd walk in and go, give me a growler of that. And we'd be in and out in 10 minutes. Or maybe I would stop and have a taste of something. But it was by the end of that weekend, it was just like, we have been to 10 different places.
Holy fuck!
I mean, have you been to Duluth/Superior? There's a lot of them up there.
I have an annual camping trip that goes up to Grand Marais, and we regularly stop by Castle Danger, Fitgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's Fitgers, there's Castle Danger, there's Bent Paddle, there's Thirsty Pagan, on the other side of the in Superior, there's Thirsty Pagan, there's Wild State, there's a couple cideries. What are those called? There's Wild State and Duluth Cidery, and there's a brewery in between the two of them, the Ursine.
Ursine is in Duluth.
Is it Ursine or Lupine? No, Lupine is over Delano way.
It's like, is it Ursa Major?
Yeah, it might be
Ursa
I'm
Major.
Sorry,
I think.
There's a lot of them. And or there's Ursa there's Minor, an yeah. there's an oh, like
yeah
Wave Rider or something like that on the Superior side again, over by by Thirsty Pagan. And anyway, there's just a lot of them up there, you know, and Carmody's, you know, Fitgers. It's just the list goes on. So Canal Park, and then you throw in Vicre, the distillery,
You got a trunk full of booze. Yeah, you got a whole week.
You know, and I've got growlers for 90% of those.
Sure.
So, you know, if I'm going to bring a growler up, I'm going to fill it. So, yeah. Anyway, the joke is no matter where we go, it somehow turns into a brew tour. And so my wife was just like, we pull up, we're like, we're going to get some food here. Oh, look, there's a brewery. So what
you've got an incredible sense of direction.
Anyway, so what we are drinking is Moose Lake Brewing Company.
Ooh.
I did pick up three crawlers, but I then consumed the other two.
Story checks out.
What is left is the Crazy Camper Apricot Cream Ale.
Oh shit, that sounds good.
Yes.
All right, well, let's tuck in. Hally-oop.
That is a bit of all right.
You know, that might be just about everything that I want in a not dark beer.
That is clean.
Yeah.
Crisp, tasty. Mm-hmm. It is not overpoweringly fruity.
Mm-hmm.
It's creamy. That is a fantastic beer.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree. That's I just imagined eating a brat with sauerkraut, like at a ball game, having one of those and a beer and a brat.
Yeah. No, this is a fantastic beer.
Mm.
So, hey, if you're heading up to the north, go stop at Moose Lake and
do yourself a favor.
Get an apricot cream. The brewery itself did not then have a restaurant, so I just...
So the kids just had to wait a little while until we got to the next town.
I went in to see if they had food. They did not, so I said, give me three crawlers, and I walked and backed out.
Yeah.
And then we stopped at a place called the Lazy Moose in Moose Lake and had a fine meal.
Excellent. Picked up a couple of crawlers from there, too.
of their water.
Gravy. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I'm not above picking up a crawler of gravy.
I would do a crawler of gravy.
Yeah.
For the good poutine. I had some great poutine on the way back, too, by the way. We're close to Canada. What are you going to do? So we were at a YMCA camp.
Okay.
Called Camp Du Nord.
Sure.
Well, like I said, it is not quite technically in the Boundary Waters. Mm-hmm. We were at the Boundary Waters, but we weren't in the Boundary Waters. We were like a mile from the Boundary Waters. But we're close enough. I mean, the terrain doesn't dramatically change in a mile. So we were definitely out in the woods. For a family camp, YMCA camp, which I didn't know what that meant.
I'm imagining that there are just like 80 different small campsites. Each one has a family in it.
I mean,
I'm willing to let you tell me.
So that would be just like a campsite.
Sure.
Right. For camping. But what is a family camp at a YMCA camp? So what I had been told by my wife is that it's like a summer camp. You know, we'll go there and, you know, the kids will go off and do summer camp stuff.
Nice.
And the parents will then be left alone for the morning. And I was just like, cool, you know. But I didn't quite realize what that meant.
Okay.
And so, I mean, picture summer camp when you're a kid.
Sure.
It was a lot like that, but for everyone.
Yeah.
And I was not ready for that. Because we get there, and we have our opening ceremony on Sunday night, and we get out and the families, you know, we're all at the stage area, and then the counselors come out and, like, this is a repeat after me song, and everybody does it. And but it was like parents were expected to,
oh yeah,
be campers too.
Oh,
and I was
yeah.
just like, oh, oh, you want me? I'm at summer camp. No, you don't understand. My kids are at summer camp. I'm just here yep. for them to be at summer camp.
Yeah.
So that was...
See how those other two Crowlers met their fate.
And honestly, like, by... it took me a couple days to, like, internalize that.
Okay.
Because I really, for the first few days, did have this, like, no.
I'm going to go off and fish. I'm going to.
Yeah, I'm not here.
Hike.
I'm not here for.
Out in the wilderness.
For sing alongs.
Yeah, I'm not for group hikes.
Yeah.
I'm not for. Yeah, sing alongs.
But, like, by the end of the week, you know, like, okay. My kids would be doing something and we'd go and then we'd have a sing along and we'd just bop along. Yeah, yeah. 40 years on an iceberg. Yeah. I was starting to get into it. I feel like if my kids weren't there, I would not have been able to get into it. But because
sure.
they were there, I was kind of able yeah. to like
I could
play
see
with
that.
Them a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, so the way it was structured is, well, I'll kind of let you know how our day went. Okay. So first of all, it was us and another family. That mm-hmm. are friends of ours. My daughter and their daughter are thick as thieves, best
sure.
friends in the entire world.
Yeah.
So the two families, we went up together. We, you know, got a cabin up there and
yeah.
had a grand old time.
Nice.
A week away. You know, we're friends with them. Our kids love each other. It's great. So we all went up together, and the way the days went
mm-hmm.
is... At 7:30, quiet hours ended,
mm-hmm.
and they had a morning polar plunge.
Oh.
Obviously not, like, frozen water polar
yeah.
plunge, but it was cold. It was chilly.
Sure. You're talking about, you know, 50-degree water.
It was chilly, you know.
Sure.
I mean, it topped, while the entire time we were there, it topped out at like 78 degrees.
Oh my god.
So the water was like
so
definitely
good.
In the 40s. It was chilly. But it was basically like, anybody who wants to come out,
mm-hmm.
we do this chant, you know, I'm a polar bear, blah blah blah, and then we all run into the water and, you know, it's fucking cold, and you wake the fuck up, and then you get out of the water and you go back to your cabin and have a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
If you do that all 5 days,
ooh.
You get a certificate and the right to purchase a polar bear t-shirt.
Huh.
You don't get the polar bear t-shirt,
no.
but you're allowed to buy it.
Sure.
My wife and I, we did that.
Mm-hmm.
We did it all 5 days.
All right.
I didn't get the shirt. My wife got a shirt. It's adorable. I ended up getting a badge.
Oh, all
like
right.
A little patch.
Cool.
But it was just a fun way to wake up and get into the water, into
mm-hmm.
the lake
mm-hmm.
every morning. And then we toweled off and went back to the cabin and had a cup of coffee. Then we had breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And that was then breakfast time.
And that was, in like a big hall,
no,
or
so
was that individual?
Breakfast was by yourself.
Okay.
You breakfast was on you. So we just went back to the cabin. We had
made eggs.
Eggs or bacon or yeah. pancakes or whatever it was we felt
yeah.
like. And then at 9 o'clock was something called Nature Notes. Nature Notes
huh.
was an optional thing.
Okay.
That you went to and their camp naturist
mm-hmm.
would tell you stuff.
Huh.
And I learned some fucking fascinating shit. Really cool stuff. But they dangled the carrot. Those that do that all the days get a badge.
Oh.
Get a little badge. And so my son went, I want to do that. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
okay, dude, we're going to do that together.
All right.
And so we did. He and I, every morning, 9 o'clock, we went over to Nature Notes. And we learned all sorts of fascinating stuff.
Nice.
Like, legitimately cool stuff.
Yeah.
There are three kinds of lichen that grow up in the North Woods. There is the crustose, which is the hard, flaky stuff that grows on rocks.
Okay.
There is the foliose, which is that kind of velvety stuff that grows on trees that kind of has that deer antler look to it.
Sort of velvety.
Yeah, exactly. And then there is the fruticose, which is, it's also called old man's beard, because it's that dangly, wispy lichen that hangs from fir trees.
Yeah.
Learned that on the first day. And, you know, went from there, learned about different plants and stuff, some different kinds of mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
One day was, we talked about birds and bird calls. We learned a really cool thing about the balsam fir.
Yeah.
A lot of balsam fir out there. Balsam fir, the trunk weeps sap.
Huh.
Like, it's got, like, little blisters on the trunk that pop. If you, like, poke them, they just pop.
Sure.
And then this sap oozes out of them.
Huh.
So if you walk up to a balsam fir out in the woods, you're probably going to see just, like, weeping sap on the trunk.
Yeah.
But what you do is you get a little stick, about toothpick-size stick, and you put a bunch of sap on the end of that, and then you throw it in the fucking lake. And what happens is the sap starts to dissolve.
Uh-huh.
And as it dissolves, it spreads out, which pushes your little toothpick stick forward, and you got a motorboat.
That's amazing.
Not a very fast motorboat,
no.
mind you, but it does. It drives the stick forward, and you've got a little sap-powered boat.
A little water rocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little torpedo. It's kind of fun. Not only that, but as the sap dissolves, the sugars, like, spread out over the water, and you get this rainbow effect floating on the water, this iridescence on the water.
Yeah.
All from the little balsam fir. It's really fucking cool stuff.
That is
I was
cool.
like, I'm having a great camp experience.
That's
this is fun.
Does sound exactly like your kind of fun.
Oh, absolutely.
It's my kind of fun, too.
Yeah.
But that is definitely
I don't want to do this sitting around campfire singing Kumbaya, but
learning about that
balsam fir sap is my speed.
Mm. Mm.
Mm-hmm. So, but we did that. We did all the days. We got our little badge. And then after that was the age groups.
Okay.
So this was where all of the kids of 6 years old go off with this counselor, and all the 7-year-olds go off with that counselor, and 8-year-olds go. So, you know, this is when the kids went off and did the kid stuff.
Uh-huh.
And this is when the parents got to do adult stuff. So there was, like, one day there was, like, a yoga class.
Hmm.
There was even a paddleboard yoga if people wanted to do that.
Wow.
On one day, there was like rock mandala painting. One day was like an arts and craftsy thing. Like, it was just kind of like, here's camp, but for adults. You know?
Sounds so good.
And so we actually did the rock mandala painting.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there, and the person in charge was like, here's a bunch of rocks. Here's the paint. We've got coffee over here. If you want to paint a rock mandala, awesome. If you want to sit with a cup of coffee and just chat, awesome. If you want to take a rock and some paint and go somewhere else and paint it by yourself, awesome. Do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was zero pressure at any point, not just with the adults, but also with the kids.
Hmm.
If you want to help, if you want to engage in these activities, awesome. If you don't, awesome. Nobody's making you.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, on Friday, my daughter and her friend were just like, we're not feeling up to doing age groups today. We're just going to stay in the cabin and, like, read and play together. And we're like, cool.
All right.
No problem. So all of the activities and the art supplies and the whatever you want, it's all available. Nobody's making you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, for me, was wonderful. So, yeah, so the kids off and did that stuff, and the adults did their thing. The first day, me and my friend, we're just like, let's go hop in a canoe and go around the lake.
Yeah.
We're like, cool, we did that. So we did. We fucking canoed around the lake.
Oh, that's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, it was great. However, we discovered that apparently the water is a lot clearer than we're used to.
Huh.
Because we do an entire fucking trip around the lake, no problems. Like, both of us know what we're doing. We're in sync. We've got a good stride going. We're working great.
Mm-hmm.
We get to the end. We're coming into shore. And my friend, who's in the front of the canoe, looks down and he goes, oh, the sand is about knee deep. The water's about knee deep right here.
Oh, no.
So he gets out of the boat.
Uh-huh.
We're actually about 4 feet deep.
Yeah.
So he fucking tips the boat. We're both in the water. He fucking threw. And for the rest of the goddamn week, he was just like, the water was clearer than I'm used to.
Yeah.
Giving him all sorts of shit for that.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the water 3 times the first day. Because it was first the polar plunge, the second he threw me in the water in the canoe, we went swimming later.
Oh,
so it was in the lake 3 times in that one day. But yeah, so it was. So then what happened? Oh, so lunch, then you could either do the lunch in the mess hall,
sure.
You know, and buy whatever the buffet was going to be that day, or you could do lunch yourself. Same with dinner. If you wanted to do dinner in the mess hall buffet, mm-hmm. you know, cool. Otherwise, and so what we opted to do lunch by ourselves in the cabin and then dinner at the mess hall. And then that way we were responsible for breakfast and the other family was responsible mm-hmm. for lunch. Perfect division of labor and energy and everything. So after age groups is done and you just know stuff, then we have lunch, and then in the afternoon is like the art, bunch of arts stuff. You know, you could do like ribbon weaving, or you could do my kids and I made mosaics. You gotcha. Could do nature hikes, whatever you felt, you know, they had a couple hours in the afternoon for
activities hour. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then after that was, you know, you're getting into dinner time. You have dinner. There was various, you know, evening/nighttime activities mm-hmm. Every night. There was something a little different. My wife and I went on a night hike.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, one of those nights, my wife did a nighttime sauna. Which she said was really cool.
They
had like various different kinds. They had like family sauna and individual sauna, but the nighttime ones were like male sauna and female sauna.
Okay.
And so it was clothing optional.
Okay.
And so like the women would go at you know, it was like 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
The women would all go to the sauna, and then they had a door out the back.
Mm-hmm.
Where you get in the sauna, you sweat yourself, and then you go out the back and you walk right into the lake.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so she said that was fantastic because, you know, you get all, you know, sweaty in the sauna, and then you go out and you go just straight down the ramp into the lake, and you look up and the stars are out there and you're in the lake.
Especially in the Boundary Waters.
Yeah. Wow. And then you go back up into the sauna and get warm again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sounds amazing. But this is just the stuff that was available to you.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of shit. You know, their art building was just full of markers and crayons and yarn and fabric and stones and paints and whatever.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, we did the night hike, which was a lot of fun. There was one day we woke up and found out that there was some bear poo on one of the trails through camp. You know, stuff like that.
Probably a bear.
Let's hope. Because if something else was pooping out bear poop, that's a problem. It was so much fun. I legitimately would do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
The first few days, I was like, oh, they keep making me trying to sing and I'm not happy with it and stuff like that. But by the end of it, I was pretty well sold on it.
Nice.
Definitely enjoyed it. Definitely would do it again. The kids had a good time. No matter how good of a friend you are, if you've been in the same cabin with them for a week, sometimes you're just like, I need some time apart. There was definitely a few sparks here and there, but otherwise the kids had a good time too.
Excellent.
And then on the way home, because we were up, you know, in Ely, you know, area, on the way home, we stopped in Eveleth, Minnesota.
What brewery do they have there?
Damn it, they did have a brewery there. that's not why we stopped, though. The North American Hockey Hall of Fame is in Eveleth, Minnesota.
Hey.
And so we stopped there. That's something that's been on my bucket list
for
a while, and we were in the area, and we didn't have anywhere to be on the way home, so we're like, let's stop. So we did.
I didn't know that you enjoy hockey.
Yeah, I know, right? It's cool. It's obviously it's the Hall of Fame, so they got all the portraits of all the Hall of Fame members from North America. But they also have the fourth Zamboni ever made. It's real cool. It's built on a Jeep chassis.
Oh, wow.
And what they did is they basically put a big extension with a knuckle on the steering wheel column, and extended it out the back, and then stuck an old tractor seat like on the back of it.
Yeah.
So it was clearly they had kind of went, well, how are we gonna use the existing, you know, steering method and everything like that, but put the guy near the back, and they just stuck a seat on the back and then put an extension on the steering column.
Oh, wow.
For this Jeep, and then put a big tank above it and you know, the scraper on the back. But it was really cool. They have the scoreboard from the Mighty Ducks movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you walk in, you look up, it's the scoreboard from the Mighty Ducks movie. It was donated to this Hall of Fame
In the childhood.
Yeah. It was really cool. they have a whole bunch of cool stuff. Some of the great, great legends of hockey. They have like old jerseys and equipment. It's weird because they had like old the jersey for like one of the first goalies, you know, way back in the fucking 40s. It's knit. It's a knit sweater.
Oh.
Like the jerseys back then were knit sweaters.
Huh. I mean, I guess
it makes sense. They don't have the fabrics that we have now,
and it
was ice, so it was just a literal fucking knit sweater.
Yeah, adds padding
with a fabric number stitched onto it.
Wow,
you know, it was just like, wow, that's And then I got to talk to the kids about, you know, why the goalie masks look the way they do, you know.
Sure.
Guess what? They used to not wear a mask at all. And then somebody had a fucked up face and was like, no, I'm not going out there unless you give me something to put on my face. And people jeered at him. But he was like, my face is not. He had like a broken nose and didn't want to play with a broken nose if he didn't have something protecting it.
Sure.
And everybody was like, wimp. But he kept wearing it. And now eventually
the evolution of the football helmet.
Yeah, exactly.
Where they just had like padded leather.
Yeah, it was just a leather thing. Yeah.
Jesus.
So yeah, but just old equipment, various artworks and signed memorabilia and stuff like that. And then up on the second floor, they had some like things you could interact with. Like they had one of those it's something you put basically in front of a goalie net that lights up, like it's divided into 9 quadrants, and each quadrant lights up, and you try to shoot a puck at that quadrant, and if you hit it, like there's a sensor in there, so it like keeps your score.
So it's like a shooting gallery shooting pucks.
Exactly. So like you know, lower left will light up and you fire a puck at it. And if you hit it, it scores a point. And if you, hit anywhere else, it doesn't. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't working very well. But I did manage to ping the lower right corner when it lit up, like first try. So I was like, I'm done. I did it.
Yeah. Alley-oop.
Meant to do that. Totally. Hey. And then there was like a speed trap thing with a radar gun.
Oh, nice.
So you could clock your
shot. Slap shot? Yeah.
Yeah. My slap shot, the fastest I got was 42 miles an hour, which is less than half of the you know, NHL's fastest slap shot, obviously. But I was like, I hit the 40s. I'm pretty happy with that.
Pitching speed.
Yeah. I'm not an athlete. I'm not a hockey player. No, like the fact that I was able to hit 42 was just like, I'm good with that.
I think that if I could pitch a baseball at like 30 or 40 miles an hour, I would be real satisfied.
Absolutely.
Even though it's not a Ken Griffey Jr. 98 mile an hour freight train.
It was just like, no, for Joe Schlub me, who's never played hockey in my entire life, who knows a lot about the game from watching.
I didn't realize that you had never played hockey.
I've never, I do not know how to play hockey. I've watched a lot of it. I understand the game from like a bench perspective.
Sure.
But the actual like mechanics of how you fire a puck, I've never actually done. Yeah. So the fact that I was able to do that, it was just like, I'm going to be.
That's respectable.
That.
Yeah.
It was
also
cool.
Museums like that. I have such great memories of 100 museums that my parents took me to.
Yeah.
As much as I don't know if I appreciated it as much as I could have at the time, that shit sticks with you. That stays with you and it becomes part of who you are. That's such a great time.
There was a little section with hockey themed games. Like they had a cabinet video game that was hockey. Nice. They had like the foosball hockey.
Bubble hockey?
Table thing.
Oh, I love a bubble hockey.
You know, they had just a little section of like hockey themed games that aren't, you know, hockey. So fun stuff like that. It was just a really good time. And then to just walk through the Hall of Fame and see, you know, Herb Brooks and Neil Broughton and Charles Schulz is in the North American Hockey Hall of Fame. Charles M. Schulz, the Peanuts guy, he's in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Apparently, I don't think we ever watched any of the Peanuts play hockey. Only
they
baseball.
Did. I do remember in like the Christmas specials they would skate up and play some hockey.
I remember the ice skating. Yeah, well, I'll have to rewatch it.
Maybe they just ice skated. Maybe they didn't play hockey. But he was a big hockey fan. And there's a hockey arena named after him in St. Paul. But apparently he was like later on he was a big philanthropist of hockey and sponsored like a lot of like tournaments and things like that. And so he made it in the Hall of Fame. Which is pretty cool.
That is.
So that was cool. And then we left there and just down the road was a bar and grill. That one my wife spotted. I didn't even spot that one. My wife saw that and went, oh, they're gonna go in here. And that's where I had the poutine, which is really fucking good. It was great poutine. And I had some good brews there too. I had a blueberry wheat that they actually put blueberries in my glass.
Yeah, one of the first beers very that good. I found really palatable was like a sunset wheat. Which was, it's kind of a fruity beer. I don't think Line & Kugel's makes that anymore. I love a good, like, fruit and wheat beer.
Yeah. Fruits and wheats go well together. That was my week up north condensed into as little time as I could possibly try to cram it in there. And I skipped over so fucking much.
Yeah.
A lot.
As much as I am not a church-going person anymore, and as much as I, one of the things that my family did frequently because it was inexpensive, was spend a week up at, I think it was Timber Bay, and then there was a different other one, which was kind of the church camp version of... Sure. What you're describing, families out there kayaking and canoeing and doing arts and farts and crafts.
Sure.
And sitting around the campfire and telling stories and, you know, whatever. It was, yeah. Huh.
I do have to say, we were ridiculously impressed with how respectful and aware they were about different beliefs and creeds and genders and stuff like that.
Nice.
They you know, it is the YMCA. It is based on a Christian foundation, and so there's always a little bit of like, but like all of the counselors introduced themselves with pronouns.
Nice.
There was always a clear like, this is inclusive. Everybody's welcome here. You know, all we will do whatever we can to make sure that people are welcome. On the last day, at closing ceremonies, like they were like, we're going to finish. We're going to sing a couple songs. The first one is going to be this song. The second song that we're going to sing is like, this is our father's land or something like that. Mm. And he's just like, this is... the reason we're doing this song is because it is traditional. In the 40, 50, 60, however many years, 60 years that this camp has been here, this song has been sung every year. So it's tradition.
Yeah.
If that is not your thing, after we sing the first song, if you want to head over to the after party, that's cool.
By all means. Yeah.
You know, if you do want to stay and sing the other song, that's there too.
Sure.
But, like, nobody's making you, you know, and half the people did. Half the people left, half the people stuck around for the second song. But it was very clear that this is a zero judgment area.
No expectations.
Everybody's welcome here. Everybody's welcome here.
That's fucking amazing. Because I often feel like when I leave the blue nougat center of the Twin Cities and head out into the... like crispy purple wafer of the surrounding suburbs, that I start to see a little hesitation.
And I mean, there was like driving up there, you definitely saw all of the like the lawn signs that were like pro mining and stuff like that, which is honestly, well, I mean, as long as the mining is done as safely as possible, I'm okay with it. Like the fact that so much of the nation's iron comes from the Iron Range is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But like one of the things that they did talk about at various points was the new sulfur ore copper nickel mine that they wanted to put in. And they're like, first of all, the sulfur ore mines are extremely toxic. Have a 0% cleanliness rate. Every single sulfur ore mine that has ever been sunk has had a mishap.
Yeah, I can imagine.
100% of them have had some sort of leak somewhere. The other ones have usually been in dry environments like Arizona or Alaska.
Sure.
Whereas this is a watershed.
Yeah.
Yep. If there is a and we're on the other side of the Laurentian.
There's going to be.
We're on the other side of the Laurentian Divide right there, by the way. Which, by the way, if you don't know what the Laurentian Divide is, that's kind of cool.
I don't. I'll have to look it up.
Do you not know what that is?
I don't.
You know about the Continental Divide, right?
I do.
Okay.
Created the Rockies and...
Continental Divide. On one side, all of the water flows towards the Pacific. On the other side, it all flows to the Atlantic.
Sure.
The Laurentian Divide, south of it, it all flows to the Gulf of Mexico. North of it flows to Hudson Bay.
Oh.
And the Laurentian Divide is in the Iron Range. Wild. So the Boundary Waters is actually north of the Laurentian Divide. All of the Boundary Waters goes to Hudson Bay.
And so if there is a catastrophic
mining disaster and there's sulfur, this toxic sulfur ore
gets
into the water, it's getting into the Boundary Waters, fucking everything up, and just going north.
Yep.
So,
well, shit.
But they were able to put a 20-year moratorium on that shit. And Joe Biden signed a 20-year moratorium on that based on this group in Ely's, like, work to say, no, we're not doing that.
Damn.
But it was just one of those things that was discussed. It was like, mining is cool as long as it's done safely. And this is not that.
Right. And as long as it's not, you know, a fucking 20 square hectares or whatever pit 5,000 feet into the ground or whatever.
It was all sorts of cool stuff like that.
Nice. I had a Ville show.
How did it go?
Well, I was going to say we could take a break or we can just roll right into it.
I mean, let's just do this in two and be done.
Yeah. All right. This is the first. So I always have stage fright. You've met me. You know.
I still have stage fright.
Yeah. A couple hours before I do a stand-up set or before I do a Ville show in specific, I get an inability to really eat very many things.
Sure.
I have a short list of things that won't make me feel violent.
Your stomach gets all knotted up. I understand. Yeah.
And I get, like, adrenaline poisoned, too. Mm-hmm. So I've often said that if I were to break down comedic performance into three major types, each one of them has its difficulty and each one has its pressure release valve, right?
Interesting.
Where, for example, with scripted sketch comedy plays, things like that, you are reading somebody else's words. The hard part is memorizing it and being able to spit that out on stage. But as long as you can do that, then you don't have to worry about making shit up. You don't have to be completely present in the way that you do during improv and that kind of thing. And you don't have to worry about writing it yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So it is gentler in that way. Still very taxing, takes a lot of work and a lot of talent.
Performance does that. Yeah, sure. It's no matter what.
Second kind, stand-up, right? Stand-up or just joke-telling in general, where you have to write your stuff. You have this huge amount of time to write things, to hone them, and to memorize them a little bit, but you get to bring your notes up on stage, and people often do. And so you have the release valve of not having to memorize things or necessarily come up with new shit if you're not responding to hecklers. And so there's that. That's the break. But it's very hard because every word that comes out of your mouth, you are responsible for crafting it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you're bearing your soul.
Yeah. The third kind is improv. And the hard part about improv is, of course, that you have to say the next thing. It may not be funny. It may not be poignant or whatever. You just say the next thing, and you hope that at some point you find the place where things come together. You put a button on it. You reach harmony as a group, that kind of thing. It is as difficult as the other two types. At least as difficult as the other two types.
Yeah, they all have their difficulties.
And so there are those. But the great thing about improv is that you don't have to prepare. You have to practice, but you don't have to prepare anything. You don't have to write anything. You don't have to memorize anything.
Yep.
That is antithetical to the form.
Mm-hmm.
Ville 10
is all three.
In its essential, you know, vanillification, Missionaryville, is writing ahead of time, is memorizing, and is being present and saying the next correct thing for that moment. the improv games completely aside.
Yeah.
You still have to have that fat mom volley. Mm-hmm. You have to have that small dick volley. You have to, you know, and because if you're up there just spitting stuff out in order, you do lose some part of it. And so it doesn't have any of the pressure relief of the other three. It's all the work of the other three and none of the release.
Interesting.
Is how I consider it. And it is one of the most anxious forms of comedy for me.
I completely agree with you on that. Yeah. No, having done it for 15 years, I know exactly what you're talking about. It is all of those things wrapped up and more. It is one of the most complicated comedy styling forms I have ever had to do. Mm-hmm. Which, on the other hand, means now when I go do improv or something like that, this is fucking easy.
Yeah. Well, and just like Stefan Senpai, I'm sure, knows exactly what I'm about to say. I played a shitload of Jet Moto as a kid, and now almost every other racing video game is easy to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Because every other racing video game is in two dimensions.
Yeah.
Mostly. You know? Yeah. But the... yeah, that anxiety completely aside, I can help to curb that by feeling at least prepared, right?
Hmm.
I've got my jokes written. I have spent time with them. I've memorized them. I have what I call my laundry list, which is breaking everything down into a word and then memorizing that list, forming a picture.
Did you ever do a picture? A few words?
I do, yeah. Internally, that's how I remember my thing. My set list, basically, for the night.
I knew a lot of people that would do pictures, and pictures never worked for me. But I would I would make pithy little sayings.
Oh, yeah.
Like I would make nonsense sentences.
Yeah.
That were packed.
Course battery staple.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what worked for me.
Sure.
If I did get stuck and I could go through and say my little stupid little sentence.
One of the things that got me through the amateur show, because the amateur show is the peak of demanding vilification.
We make you do the hardest show first.
Yes. Yeah. Because not only are you doing all three forms of comedy, not only are you doing regular vil in several different styles, not only are you doing home game, which is fucking brutal, but you are doing it for 90 minutes to 2 hours.
For the first time ever in front of a crowd.
Yes. And and it's a competition for survival.
Oh, it's brutal.
Yeah, it's fucking monstrous.
It's absolutely brutal.
I love it, but this is what monsters do.
Yep.
So one of the things that got me through the amateur show was having acronyms, like golf.
Interesting.
And then golf, each letter is Geneva, Olympics, legal, Febreze.
See,
and then each one of those is a joke.
Both with the pictures and with acronyms, there's the added step of the translation.
I have to do that anyway.
If it was a picture or an acronym, I would have to take the letter and go, what did that letter stand for? And translate that into the word. And then from the word, I could translate it into my joke.
Yeah.
Or the picture, it was just like I had to translate the picture into a word and then the word into the joke.
Whereas is an extra step.
Exactly. So that's why I would do a pithy sentence that had all of those keywords in there.
Sure.
Because then I could just hit the actual word and it was only one step to translating into a joke.
Something like, what is thy request, Onyx Sphinx, or something?
Yeah.
Instead of the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog. That makes complete sense based on the way that your brain works.
Oh, absolutely.
In order for me to internalize something, I have to turn it into a picture, and then to externalize something, I have to turn it from a picture into words.
Oh, interesting. Extra step is necessary for you.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. I would be making like an extra sandwich inside a sandwich if I turned it from words into pictures into words and then translated it back out again.
That extra step would slow me down.
Yeah. Yeah. Same deal. Because it does require a lot of work to put things in storage for me, I want to spend a bunch of time with it, and I tried so hard to find the time to write the jokes on the subject. 80s, well, not even 80s blockbusters, just blockbusters at the movie theater. I came up with a bunch of jokes, and I was like, all these jokes fucking suck. These are awful. I have a handful of them instead of armloads, like I would usually, because a lot of attentions and energies were divided between Convergenceville, which happened the week before, and this Strike Theaterville show. And so the other thing was that I just felt fucking unprepared for that, and I also did not have my costume together and struggled to figure out what the fuck. I ended up doing a closet cosplay of Clark Kent because it turns out I have a Superman t-shirt, and then the glasses, these backup glasses, my safety glasses look like Clark Kent's. Yeah, so it was the easy thing to do. But holy fuck. Saturday morning, still did not have my costume together. Still did not have my shit memorized. Panic had been setting in for about 48 hours. And then just suddenly started pulling shit together, got my costume together, really was able to sit myself down and look over my jokes. I discovered that I'd written more than I thought. And pulled out like my favorite 15 or 16, ended up writing two or three more while I was sitting and looking at them. And then I was still sort of sweating, memorizing them. So I'm, you know, going over them in my head. And on the drive over, Jax had said, like, do you want me to like grill you? So they would say, you know, throw a fat mom joke, throw a small dick joke, throw a stupid joke, throw a slut joke, throw, you know, and then over and over again. And especially like going through this month's material, fuck, that helped so much. And I ended up getting into a volley of small dick jokes. And usually it's a volley of fat mom jokes. Just because those are, you know, that's what usually happens. And I ended up, I was still sweating it, but I felt so much better about it by the time that I got there. And then the moment that I hit the stage, it just exploded out of me. It just erupted out of my face. All of the jokes. And afterward, I had to check with my vill partner. I checked with Bob. And I was like, hey, Bob, I feel like I stepped forward a lot, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't, like, cramp your style or step on your toes. And he was like, no, I'm lazy as shit. I don't...
you'll find a lot of us old-timers are definitely,
He was like, I got to throw the
less work I've got to do.
My favorite jokes that I wrote for this month, you're good. You brought crowd energy up. Great. You were ready.
The show was good. Not everybody needs to be the leading person.
And then during home game, I won my first home game event.
Cool.
Which also felt really good.
Good on you.
Yeah. Even though, like, I understand it's pro wrestling, but it felt great. It ended up being a super fun show. It's very weird. But holy fuck, can I get a lot done in 12 hours when I'm nervous? Fuck. Aside from that, just watched a couple of classic movies this weekend.
Oh, good.
What? Tried to take it easy, supported Jax at an art fair, and napped. Napping is important.
I did some napping this week.
Napping
was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there was, again, there was a bunch of those days where it was like, you can do activities, or you cannot do activities. And a few of those days, it was like, I'm gonna just read my book until I fall asleep. mm-hmm. for a few hours. And it was nice.
God, that sounds so good. Yeah. I finished a book that I was reading while I was napping. It's a book that
While you were napping? That's impressive.
Well, like off and on, yeah. Yeah, my new sleep reading program.
I mean, if you do the subliminal, you know, audiobook thing, it's one way to do it.
This book ended up being pretty fun. It's called Fart Quest. It's for people who are laughing at that title and enjoy Dungeons and Dragons. That's really pretty much it. It's very cute. It's a YA novel, but
yeah,
it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking about picking up the next one. And now I'm reading Seven Eves by...
Is the second one Shart Adventure?
No, the second one is something similar, though, like, you know, bodily.
The Burp like, Brigade.
I think it is. I think it's like Belch's Revenge or something. Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. Right now I'm reading Neal Stephenson's Seven Eves, and then or Seven Nevis.
Neal Stephenson is so good.
And then I'm also...
You read Cryptonomicon, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I made you read Cryptonomicon. That's right.
You did. Yeah, you bought me a copy. Yeah. I still have that copy. That was, and
it's
I,
a really fucking good
book. Yeah. The other book that I'm reading is called Trust Me, I'm Lying. And it's hard to get through because it's real accurate and very depressing. But it's the subtitle is Confessions of a Media Manipulator. And it's good. It's very accurate. It's topical. And that makes it kind of an open wound.
Hmm.
Yeah. So there's that. But that's what I did with my weekend.
Cool. Should we take a break?
Yes, I think we better have
it. Let's do that. We're going to take a break. Going to get some more drinky drinks.
Hell yeah.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. Jesus. Sometimes you can't do anything except watch the monkey masturbate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
Jeez. Holy fuck. Oh, whoa. All right.
How do you feel about that one?
I'm going to make an appointment. I think I got whiplash. Shit.
Well, it's okay. Let's get on more even ground.
All right.
With a fast five.
Fast five.
Today, James has the buttons, so let's find out how well this goes.
Oh, shit.
All right. Today's Fast Five comes to us from... ChatGPT.
Oh, no.
Who's that?
An AI generator.
Oh, is it? Oh, that sucks.
Oh, God. Well, I guess there's a writer's strike. Maybe that extends to our Fast Fives as well.
Lovely. I don't know who sent this. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Opening thoughts. Greetings, human podcasters. Long-time scraper, first-time writer. I see what's going on. Long-time scraper, first-time writer. I was tasked with creating a Fast Five. I provided the questions, but the human entering the query has decided the context.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know what's going on. Question number one.
Ooh, that was a close one.
Hmm. Action movies.
Okay.
Or romantic comedies.
Hmm. What's a better date?
Action movies?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Potentially. Huh.
If they get scared, they jump into your lap or grab your arm.
I think I like romantic comedies a lot.
I don't.
What? See, I've seen... what I will say in your favor is I have seen a lot of really fucking miserable romantic comedies.
That's because 95% of them are fucking terrible.
But I will tell you that the 5% of them that are left after that, they are sincerely golden films.
Right. Whereas an action movie is just fun, no matter what.
Sometimes.
If it's good, it's fun. If it's bad,
I mean,
it's fun.
I don't...
Action movies are just fun.
Like, I enjoy watching the movie Aliens. That does not strike me as a good...
That's not an action movie. That's a suspense movie.
It's like an action thriller, or is that a horror movie? It might be a horror movie.
Depends on sci-fi. Which one.
Horror?
Like, the first one, I think, is actually legit horror, but the second one, I think, is... The second one's more action-y,
one is a lot more bro-y action. It's got a lot of locker room moments between the Space Marines.
And it's more fun.
It is. I remembered it... I misremembered which Aliens film...
I don't remember which
Aliens
was which.
3 legit, yeah. is a
don't
lot more
it.
Comedy and action than it is horror. Aliens...
Horror.
I gotta say, romantic comedy. If you have not watched The Decoy Bride, may I...
See, romantic comedies
endorse it.
A, do nothing for me. And
sure.
B,
you're not a
romantic
highlight
guy. How shit I am as a romantic partner.
Because
after coming out of the movie, whoever I'm with looks me up and down and goes,
"You never held a boombox outside my dorm room." I'm like, "No, I didn't. You're welcome."
Yeah.
That's terrible
also,
behavior.
Yeah, that one.
That's one of the things about a lot of romantic comedies. Yeah.
But whereas an action movie, again, if it's a good action movie, it's fun. And if it's a shit action movie, it's still fun. Because then you can make fun about it together.
Yeah. I do watch Space Mutiny on
Ice Pirates. The best!
Ice Pirates is pretty
good. My wife and I have definitely had date night with Ice Pirates.
That's really cute.
Because we get to MST3K that shit together.
Oh,
and what is better than a date night
that.
Where you do that?
Yeah. Well, fair enough.
Maybe that's just us.
Then it turns you into a romantic comedy.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. Yeah, I'm still going to go with romantic comedy because I have a short list of ones that actually feel pretty good to watch.
Hmm.
And are less miserable.
I can think of like two.
Yeah, I've got like it's a short
like
list.
Where
it's
Harry
like,
Met Sally, or where when Harry Met
I
Sally.
Mean, Below the Waist is, if I remember correctly.
Like
Fork Deep in the Salad.
I mean, Princess Bride. Is
Princess Bride
both
is a kind of an action romantic comedy. Yeah, I mean, I think Princess Bride, Stardust, I would say is
that a romantic comedy? Really?
Kind of an action romantic. Like the whole thing is framed.
Around action movies can have a romantic subplot, but that doesn't mean it's a romantic comedy.
Okay, so if we're all right, this is gonna be a fucking hot dog and a sandwich thing.
Oh,
I've been thinking about that a lot, and the thing is that the difference between a hot dog and a sandwich is not the wrapper; it's the content. The content is self-containing thing. When it comes to a romantic comedy, like, is Stardust an action film? Is it a high fantasy?
I mean, are you gonna
say, is it a romantic
Pirates of the Caribbean? Is that a romantic?
Or is it a romance?
An action movie?
That is an action comedy to me.
Yes, but
because
it's a romance.
You could take the romantic subplot out of it. without substantially changing the plot.
You can do the same thing with Stardust.
You can't do that because they're like, not only is that the motivating incident,
you can give them a different MacGuffin,
but MacGuffins it is also,
it's a MacGuffin.
God, so much of the movie hinges on the relationship between two characters, and in particular, the growing romantic relationship between two characters.
I don't know if you could
write it out, but it would require a lot more writing out. You would essentially end up with a different.
I feel
movie.
Like you could have a different MacGuffin, and you would end still up with, be able to have a lot of the same thing.
You'd end up with Labyrinth at that point.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whereas, like Harry Met Sally, that is the plot.
I would say that that is more of a romantic comedy than Stardust is an action romantic comedy.
Princess Bride, that is central and core.
I would say that you could write it out in the same way that you could write it out of Stardust. The story follows two people.
We're not going to get anywhere with this.
Those two, I would say Decoy Bride.
Never.
Fuck, it's so fun. And then I would say Notting Hill, probably.
Shit.
It's fine. It's lowest on that list. But I would say that's...
99% of stuff with Hugh Grant in it is utter quatch.
I mean, especially with Hugh Grant as a romantic lead, yes. I think now that they're casting him as something else...
I mean, he's been in a couple gangster movies, which I admit I have not seen.
Hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah, so. But I would say romantic comedy.
No, action movies. Question number two.
Oh, fuck, I got it. There. I was looking at the wrong end of the board.
No, you can't look. You got to do it by feel, man. You just got to know.
Yeah, well, that would have ended up being a...
Oh, God, it's going to take forever.
Instead of a... So.
Question number two, pizza or burgers?
Ooh.
Now, this is a hard question.
That is a really difficult question.
Because both of them have infinite varieties.
That's true. You can put pineapple on both. If I'm going to put pineapple on one of them...
Both of them have just a ridiculous amount of interchangeable toppings.
Yes. Accurate.
And I really like both.
I do too.
Gosh.
What? And there are so many times where I'm like, I don't want to cook. I don't want to do anything. I just want to get a burger. And there are other times where I'm like, I don't want to cook. I don't want to do anything. And I don't want a burger. I want a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I really like both.
Fuck. You know what? At the end of a long fest day, all I want is one of those Blit burgers.
Mm.
If they had pizza, I don't think I would feel the same. I have never ordered pizza into the campground. I will say that pizza party last year was real great, but I am in the mood for a burger. That's... After I have, like, expended myself completely, thoroughly, turned myself inside out, scraped out the sides, and then flipped myself inside and rinsed, then I want a burger.
God damn, I can't...
If you're gonna eat in the car, would you rather...
I've done both.
I have to. I'm a fucking slob about that, too.
Domino's is really good for eating pizza in the car.
Is it?
Not Domino's. Well, what is it? Little Caesars.
Oh.
Little Caesars is great for eating pizza in the car. I have definitely gone to Little Caesars and gotten a pizza and just eaten the thing in the car.
Huh. Oh, yeah. Like sitting still, but I mean like driving.
Yeah, driving.
Oh, wow. Huh.
With just the pizza open in the passenger seat.
Wow.
Eating a Little Caesars pizza.
I could see that. I don't think I would do it, but I could see it.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't eat a hard shell taco while driving too, and I don't understand people who do, but some people do. I wish I had the confidence of someone who eats a hard shell taco while driving. Because the first bite, that thing disintegrates.
It does.
Into shrapnel.
It absolutely does.
And you have one hand. You have
a handful. I drive stick and eat a taco.
Yeah, I wish I had that level of confidence. I don't. I need both hands free.
That level of confidence.
If I'm going to eat a hard shell taco, I need both hands free.
I will tell you that is the one area of my life where I have that degree of confidence.
I wish I had that confidence.
Some video games, not many.
Oh, God, that's... I'm going to go burger.
Yeah?
I'm just sticking with burger.
Okay.
Yep. I have to just stick to an answer. Otherwise, I'm going to drive myself insane.
All right.
Question number three. E-books or physical books?
Which have I spent more money on?
I cast zero shade on e-books.
Yeah.
I think e-books are fantastic. I have some e-books. E-books definitely have their place.
E-book here in my pocket.
For when you're on vacation.
Yeah.
And you don't want to pack a stack of books. ebooks are great. I will never say a disparaging word about ebooks, but I personally, the feel and the smell of a physical book.
Yeah.
Walking into
a bookshop. Oh, buying secondhand books.
I mean,
that have writing in them. Fuck.
I hate that.
Oh,
don't
really?
Desecrate my fucking books. If it is like a textbook or something like that, then by all means write in the margins and I have as well. But like if it's a literature book, I don't know. Don't get your fucking
writing out of there. One of the things that I enjoy about reading ebooks and also
is the
buying
scribbling in the margins?
Yes.
In your ebook?
Legitimately.
What?
Because there are ebook services, Kindle and Nook and others, where they show you where other people have underlined or made notes.
Interesting.
And I think that's fucking great. But that's also something that I enjoy about buying used books, is not only finding shit that people have tucked into them as bookmarks, like concert tickets and
receipts
for things, and you know, that kind of shit, but then also I love that additional layer of information where people have underlined stuff or left
archaeology
notes. Or better than that, I love when people have written something to somebody that they're giving the book to.
Oh, like in the front
cover? At the front. And they're like, hey, Sarah, this book meant a lot to me when I was in eighth grade. And
blah, blah, blah,
since we were friends in eighth grade, you meant a lot to me too, but I don't think you've ever read this book and blah, 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 blah.
I this has obviously come up a few times on this podcast, but for people who don't, I was going to be a library science major.
Mm-hmm.
Like books.
Which I am... In my head is you leaning over a series of beakers that you just have books in them. No, not like, and they're still bubbling for some reason, but they just have like loads of books in
just
them.
Books with steam coming off of them.
Nodding carefully, looking at a book through a microscope, which makes it unreadable, and then turning around to make a note on a blackboard. Yeah, no, it's not an image that makes
just
sense.
Just with the montage
really good.
Of the frustration level, and then finally like the breakthrough.
Eureka! Yeah.
At the end of the day, if you're reading, fuck yes, read. I don't give a shit if you're doing it digitally or doing it with paper.
I don't care if somebody's doing an audiobook or,
just consume media. Please consume media no matter what.
Humankind is based in stories.
The texture of the paper and the sound of a page turning, I don't know if that's just me, but no, I love that sound.
Delicious.
And again, the smell of that old glue and the dust and the stuff like that. Walking into a library. That musty, even slightly moldy. This smells like books.
I definitely have a fondness for the smell of books and libraries. I love looking at other people's bookshelves.
Yeah.
Which you don't get. I think that's way more intimate than looking in their fucking medicine
scrolling
cabinet.
Scrolling through their...
Well, that too.
Scrolling through their Goodreads list. Goodreads list, yeah.
But no, I would tend to agree. However you read, however you enjoy taking in stories, fucking do it. Enjoy it. I recently bought a thumb press. Triangular doodad that fits over my thumb. I don't know if that's the official word, but it holds the pages flat using just your thumb.
Is it like a banjo pick?
It's almost like an airplane wing, and your thumb is the propeller and engine.
Oh, you're holding it at the bottom.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're holding it at the bottom and it's holding the... I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Kind of turns your thumb into the front part of a music stand.
I see. Yeah, I know what I've seen those before. I don't like them.
I'm trying to decide if I like them. They're usually cheap. And
again, everybody has... I am really careful with my books. Mm-hmm. I don't use bookmarks.
No, you use points.
I use page points.
Yeah.
Because they don't damage the spine.
I also have page points.
Because they don't damage the spine. And dog earing or breaking the spine of a book, like, I'm just like, no, don't do that. And so that thing that forces the spine open in a way that it's not... wanting to be don't do that to my
pinkies get tired thinking about holding the page at a 90 open. The thing is, I'm taking that fucking paperback into the bath. I'm gonna read it in a hot car again.
Read a book however you want. Treat your book however you fucking want to. Rip it apart for all I give a shit. That's just me personally.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
That's okay.
part of my OCD or whatever you want to call it, like, that just when it comes to books, I'm just like, no, take care of that thing.
Yeah.
So I hope it works for you though.
It's the second one that I've had, and it uses different muscles, so I'll switch back and forth depending on how my hand is tired.
See, I've developed my hand muscles where I can turn the page with one hand. So.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. Nice.
As far as holding it open, that's not a problem.
But I will also go, especially if I'm going to receive a book, I like receiving a physical book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Question number 4. Morning person or night owl? I obviously am a night owl. I don't understand morning people. But again, we're all awake roughly the same number of hours. We're just slightly
offset.
A few hours offset.
Humanity needs that. We need people who will stay awake with the fire to watch out for things and to... Yeah.
Both are equally valid. Yeah. We're not lazy because we're staying up, you know, sleeping in. We're just on a slightly different schedule than you are.
Keep telling yourself that.
I don't like to wake up early.
Yeah, no.
But some people do. The thing that I don't like is when morning people... call you lazy
moral judgment
or make a more when it turns into like this moral thing, like that irritates me.
Joking aside, that is shitty, and it has so much to do with being wrapped up in the idea of being a fucking factory worker. You know, if you don't get up early, how can you get to your job on time? And if you aren't getting to your job on time, how can you be a valued individual? And
whereas I've always been my most productive well after most people have gone to bed.
Pretty much the same.
So
I like both. I like to get up early, and I like to stay up late, and I like to sleep in the afternoon. I don't want to stay up the entire night. I want to nap 4 hours.
You're a splitter.
Between, you know, between 2 and 6.
You're a morning owl.
Yes. And then I want to sleep between 11 and 3. And then I want to stay up late again.
Do you have any Spanish in you?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. I know the afternoon siesta is a big mm-hmm. thing
in Spain
and potentially Italy?
Not like so much
Venice?
In
Italy.
Huh.
At least not when I was there.
Huh. Fair enough. But places where it gets just like scaldingly
hot. Yeah.
Hot.
Well, yeah. Venice is close to the ocean.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. I'm trying to think of where the other places that I'm thinking of, but that's okay. Yeah, I don't know, but it started when I was in high school, because I would stay up until, you know, 2 in the morning, yeah. dicking around on the internet, doing my own stuff, mm-hmm. and then get up to catch the bus at 6:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
To get to school by 7, which is a fucking miserable thing to do to a teenager. And then immediately following school, I would walk to my friend's house, fall asleep on the couch, eat dinner with them,
yeah.
and then go home, eat dinner again, and then repeat. Yeah,
I never appreciated naps until I got older. Mm. I always hated naps. But yeah, now that I'm older, I love naps. But yeah,
it's kind of like naps. Huh?
I never liked naps as
not when I was six.
I was too busy.
Boundless energy.
I'm a night person.
Mm-hmm.
Question number 5.
I'll say night person because I have to choose.
There you go.
All right.
Comedy shows.
Oh, fuck.
Or concerts. I'm going to guess is which do you want to see live, and it's going to be comedy shows.
I love a good comedy show.
I love going to see comedy shows. I haven't enjoyed going to a live concert in the last 20 years.
Fuck.
Like, ever since college, I haven't enjoyed live concerts. They're always too fucking loud and too many fucking people jumping around.
That's what earplugs and tasers are for.
Yeah, again, why? Like, what's the point of going to a concert if you're going to put on fucking earplugs? Like, whereas a comedy show, I can hear what's going on. It's not too loud. I get to sit down instead of stand there.
I actually have a scientific answer for this.
The value
of concerts.
I mean, yeah, I understand the value of concerts. I absolutely understand the value of concerts, but I am an irascible old man.
Oh, who, we've met.
Yes.
You've been an old man since you were a young man.
And honestly, no. I was a young man until probably college, and that's when I started becoming an old man.
Before that, you were larva.
I was very Peter Pan up until that point. Anyway, what I'm saying is, even the concerts that I really like going to,
yeah.
like Gogol Bordello or Apocalyptica, those are some fucking good concerts.
Yeah.
But they were also too loud. and just sea of humanity pressing into me. And I'm just like, yeah. I don't think I've ever been to a comedy show where I had to stand and have people bump into me.
I mean, fair. And there are concerts where you have assigned seats.
Yeah, AC/DC was that way. I went and saw them.
The Video Games Live concert that I saw.
But even
was
then,
like
it's
that.
Just, it's really loud, and it's just like, oh, I can. Yeah, I'm not.
I don't know.
What I'm saying is, I like comedy more than music.
Duly noted.
I do. I.
That's okay.
I have. I will sit in my car and listen to my George Carlin CD just as often as I will listen to my Queen CD.
That was my introduction to Susie Izzard, was listening to Dress to Kill just on fucking repeat.
Eddie Izzard?
Susie Izzard now.
But it's an Eddie Izzard CD.
It's Susie Izzard now.
What?
Yes. She changed her name.
Oh. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, now you know. And it's okay that you didn't know, and now you do.
I mean, now I do.
Yes.
I can't guarantee I'll know it tomorrow.
I know.
We've met.
We've met a first time, several times.
First time meeting, last time listening. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. But I've love comedy specials. I love watching comedy specials. I love showing people comedy specials. I have learned the words to them the way that people learn the words to their favorite songs and albums.
Yep.
The same way that I learn the words to my favorite songs and albums. But I have to say, I'm more likely to see local comedy stuff and big musical acts than I am to see local musical acts and big comedy.
I'm exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
I am more than happy to go to see Four Pints Shy play, you know,
okay, St. Patrick's Day, Four Pints Shy, and
go to Foil Arms and Hog, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Honestly, I just want to see all of it. you make a good point.
What I'm saying is Foil Arms and Hog was a fantastic show.
Yeah, I fully fucking believe it. Yeah. Yeah, I got to see John Ramsey do his Taco Bell Meat Hose thing live, and it was exquisite comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I was crying from laughter to the point where he stopped his comedy show and he was like, "Sir, everyone else could have stayed home and it still would have been worth it."
You have that laugh. We all know that.
Fuck.
Yeah, I saw Chris Hardwick at the Varsity. I saw Josh Blue at the Varsity. Some fantastic. Andy Erickson, local, but still fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed comedy shows that I've gone to, and especially stand-up comedy, but also, like, the Twin Cities has got a fucking amazing improv scene and,
And
sketch comedy scene.
Going to the Brave New Workshop every Sunday back when I was in college, go see whatever stand-up sketch they were going on.
Yeah.
The improv troupe was doing there, whatever.
What yeah.
I've been drinking.
Oh, really?
Everything's starting to blend together.
But no, I would...
Comedy shows.
I still got to say music, concert. Mm. There is a welling of emotion that comes with
caveat.
It.
Caveat.
Okay.
Orchestral.
Yeah.
I will go see an orchestral.
That is an option. I do absolutely love an orchestra.
Absolutely.
I do love an opera.
I love opera.
Yep. That counts.
It does count. Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's Deflator Mouse, it's both.
If it's Pagliacci, it's both.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What's your favorite opera so far?
Oh, God.
I know that's a shitty question to ask inside the question that we're being asked.
Oh, God.
But I am genuinely curious. I'm not, like, asking it to...
Okay. So my favorite opera of all time is a comic opera by P.D.Q. Bach. The Abduction of Figaro. Which is fucking amazing. But in all seriousness,
I believe that counts, but
I really like Bizet's Carmen.
Okay. The music from Carmen is fucking exquisite.
Mm-hmm. Some of the aria with the tarot cards and stuff like that is just so haunting. I fucking love that one. That one's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Così Van Tutti is one that has a special place in my heart. I don't know if it's my favorite one, but it has a special place. The Marriage of Figaro.
That's got a shitload of music that people... That and Carmen have a shitload of music that people
They're very recognizable ones. They are very recognizable ones. That doesn't mean I don't still legitimately enjoy them a lot.
Sure.
Yeah. God, yeah, they're
I would say
Deflator Mouse is a fun one.
Mm-hmm. Electra was really good when we saw Electra.
Electra's good. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, though. I
wouldn't say that it's my favorite either. My favorite is Turandot.
Oh.
The story is amazing. The music is beautiful. That's, That has, one song that a lot of people know, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's, the Beautiful Night. And I'm trying to remember what the translation for that is.
Sure.
Something like that. But the story and the riddle subplot and the love story and everything, it's gorgeous, and it has a happy ending. Salsa, it's an opera with a happy ending.
Yeah, isn't it weird? That's I don't know how I feel about that.
Nessun Dorma. Is the title that I was trying to think of, and it just came to mind. It's fucking great. It's got violence. It's got comedy. It's got riddles and love and it's wonderful.
La Traviata.
Sure,
it's a good one. What's my favorite one? Oh, man.
Yeah, sorry to give you a fucking thinker, like, after question five.
No, it's not just a thinker. Like, this one has a lot of... Faust is fun.
Oh, shit, yes. Fucking Faust.
Yeah.
Wow. What is the opera? Is it just called Don Giovanni?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Don Giovanni is also really good. That is not a happy opera.
No.
But that is a very good one.
I would probably go with I'd say it's between Carmen and Marriage of Figaro.
Fair enough.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Those are two that I really, really enjoy a lot.
Nice. I saw an absolutely beautiful Carmen. I was in the stage play of Marriage of Figaro, I still have to see the opera in person. I have only ever seen, like, the PBS tape. Right, like, our membership drive. And if you become a subscribing member, then we'll send you a lovely VHS of the music on 13 cassette tapes. And this lovely tote bag, and at the $100 level, you can get both of those, and also the tote bag, and a hat, right? So, I've seen that, but I would love to see the Marriage of Figaro in person.
Yeah.
We'll see if it comes to the cities.
Okay. Here's an interesting question.
Okay.
That, if you don't know the answer right now, that's fine. But I would like to know at some point.
Mm-hmm.
The Marriage of Figaro.
Okay.
Or The Barber of Seville.
Oh, fuck.
Because that is a Fast Five question right there that I would never be able to answer.
Holy shit. The overture for Barber of Seville
is so fucking good.
Is one of the greatest pieces of classical 100%. Music that I have ever heard in my life. I think
the overture definitely takes it for Barber of Seville. 100%. But
overall,
I think Marriage of Figaro has a lot more going for it.
And it's, again, it,
but both are really good.
It's got a pretty happy ending. And it's also fucking comedically excellent.
Yeah, both of them are solid.
Yeah.
Both of them are rock solid.
Yeah, okay. I would say the overture, I would go with Barber of Seville, but the overall, the entire,
mm-hmm.
The entire experience, I would have to say Marriage of Figaro.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way.
Yeah.
But of course, my favorite opera of all time is The Abduction of Figaro by P.D. Kubak.
I'll have to give it a listen.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
You'll link to it in the show notes, won't you?
No, you just need to fucking go. It's P.D. Kubak. What are you going to do?
All right.
Anyway, all right. So, we go to the context, because we've been going for a while here. Question number one, would you prefer action movies or romantic comedies? Would you mm-hmm. prefer your life either had more thrilling stunts and intense excitement
mm-hmm.
or more heartwarming love stories and laughter-inducing moments than it currently has? My life already has some pretty fucking thrilling stunts and intense excitement.
Yeah, I was going to say, I get a lot of both.
I want more of that. I'm married. I don't need more heartwarming love stories.
Oh, yeah. That salsa is romantic at heart.
Oh, yeah. No, I love my
there's
wife.
There's a reason that your hobby involves pushing your heart to the side.
Yes, exactly. In order to... look, I love my wife. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But, I'm the thrills, spills, chills. That's what I want more.
Occasional gills.
Yes.
On a Fiji mermaid. It's,
a few gills.
And a couple of mills, close to a brewery. There we go.
Sure. And at the end, there will be some bills.
Very true.
Question number two, pizza or burgers?
I would go comedy. Romantic comedy. Pizza or burgers? What's our context?
I don't understand you. Pizza or burgers? Which is the more versatile dish when it comes to customization?
You hit the nail upon the top.
Absolutely.
Holy fuck, man. Pizza.
You can get a
pizza burger. You can get a burger pizza, yeah. Right? You can put pineapple on both. But when it comes to, a lot more people are willing to try an egg or peanut butter and jelly on a burger than they would be on a pizza.
I've had egg on a pizza.
I have too, but I think as far as convincing others, I
really?
Would say...
No, yeah. I don't. I disagree.
But I also probably wouldn't put coleslaw on a pizza. I would
really?
Definitely put
would
it on
not
a burger.
I think my wife already has.
I mean, I would eat it. Salsa, I am not... what people would consider to be picky.
Oh, which is more versatile? Oh, man, that is fucking hard. They are both... I'm going to stick with my original answer of burgers.
Okay.
Just because I need to answer something.
I'm going to switch to pizza.
I don't know. These are both so versatile.
They truly are.
You can really throw anything on either, and it's... Yeah. I've had a garbage burger. I've had a garbage pizza.
I've had more kinds of pizza than I've had kinds of burgers.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I've had so many different kinds of burgers.
I've had a lot of different kinds of salsa. Look at me.
Mm.
I've had a lot of burgers.
here.
But I will also say that I've had a lot more kinds of pizza and weirder pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go pizza.
All right. Question number three, ebooks or physical books?
Mm-hmm.
Which do you prefer to borrow from a library?
Oh, shit. That's a twist.
I'm still going to go physical books, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a physical book, I am reminded I have a book that I need to read or return.
Yeah.
If I get an ebook from a library, I forget that I have an ebook from a library.
Yeah.
And I forget that I need to finish reading it before it expires.
And then you have to get it again later.
Because then what happens is I forget that I need to read it.
Sure.
I forget there's a deadline. I get halfway through it. It goes away. And now I'm unhappy.
Yeah.
Whereas a physical book, I can look at it and go, shit, I need to read that and get it to the library.
Pay, you know, a dollar and finish the fucking book and pay a late fee on it than have to wait for it and get it again later finish the book.
I also prefer browsing.
Yes, I was going to say, the thing that people miss about going to video stores and looking through all of the different, you know, covers of movies and things like that, you can still do that. You can go to the library and go to a section that interests you.
Yeah.
And then browse by cover, by title, by author, by, you know, that kind of thing.
But if I'm there, I'm probably going to just get a physical book, too. Honestly, most
I
prefer in-person shopping for most things.
Huh. I'm coming to that. I'm arriving at that place. There was a time when I really loved shopping online, and now I never liked shopping online.
I understood that it was convenient, and I definitely did it when I needed to get something. But I am much happier going to a store and getting something.
Too. It uses different spoons for me.
No, I can see that.
Yeah,
for the one thing, I get it in my hands now.
Yes.
And I know exactly what it looks like, and just I'm not surprised by something.
Right.
And I don't have to wait, because waiting sucks. Mm-hmm. Question number 4, morning person or night owl. Do you like jumping right into work in the morning, or do you ease into your day and are more productive at the end of your work day?
I'm definitely not more productive at the end of my work day. I'm less productive.
Way more productive at the end of my day.
Oh.
I spend the beginning of my day chugging coffee and reading emails.
I think the happiest and most productive that I have been is getting up very early, putting a book or a podcast on my headphones, doing a couple dishes, making breakfast for myself and my spouse. I'm putting together my lunch for the day and theirs, and then going to work. And I also drink coffee and read emails early in the morning, but I'm also setting up appointments. I'm also looking up, Googling different weird error messages and things like that. And then toward the end of the day, I'm just fucking slagged. I'm just dead on my feet. My ideal work day would be to leave at 2.
Oh, mine too.
Yeah.
Like, obviously. But in the morning is when I'm stacked up with meetings and reading emails from the previous day and stuff like that. Gotcha. And I'm just not actually accomplishing anything. Huh. It's in the afternoon when the meetings thin out that I'm able to actually get some work done.
That makes sense. But I'm the opposite. Yeah. Surprising no one.
Question number 5. Comedy shows or concerts, which do you prefer to listen to?
Ooh.
Recordings of comedy shows or stand-up routines or live concerts?
Recordings of stand-up. Listening to live concert recordings?
I don't like that.
I legitimately dislike it.
There's all the cheering at the beginning, and I'm just like, I don't just skip ahead.
I like it when it is professionally produced.
Sure, and I will watch a DVD of a live recording.
Sure.
Because at the beginning and ending of a song, there's often like, oh, wow, look at that. And you're just like, I can't see anything because I'm listening to a recording.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just listen to the studio version of this.
But just especially if it's you know, somebody's live recording, especially like a bootleg or something like that. But if it's somebody's sort of, you know, we left a microphone in the middle of the stage and
there are exceptions to that rule.
Yeah.
There are some bands that lend themselves to live performance better.
Oh, absolutely.
When I was in college, when I was living in Europe, I bought in Prague a 2-disc Dave Matthews Band CD.
Okay.
And Dave Matthews Live is way better than Dave Matthews Studio.
I could see that. Yeah.
Because he has a very jazzy feel. His band gets to just groove. Mm-hmm. I feel groove bands. I think like Fish are also similar in a similar vein, or Grateful Dead probably are similar. We're bands that are just allowed to groove for a while.
I really
their live recordings are going to be better than their studio recordings because they get to just kind of groove.
Where somebody yells something from the audience and someone's like, "Hey, I kind of know that," and they improvise
and they play. But if it's I'm going to play the song that I always play in the studio album, except at the end I'm going to yell something at the audience. We love you, Detroit.
Yeah.
I don't care, but a band that's a good jam band.
Yeah.
The live recording will be better. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't like that. But I will listen to a live recording of a stand-up any day of the week.
I also I do like the interstitial bits on live recordings.
I hate that.
Like I like Briefcase Full of Blues. Blues Brothers album I like.
Blues Brothers would be what's their name?
I like Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
What was the name of the band that did like "Why You Wanna Give Me the Run Around"? Again, a surefire way to speed things. Everybody knows exactly who I'm.
Surefire way to speed
things. Somebody, everybody's screaming at their
Blues Traveler.
Yeah, Blues Travelers. There you go. Like I think they would make a good live.
Oh, probably
live
band,
but. Yeah. Kind of that, again, just that groovy jazz.
Me First and the Gimme Gimmes did an album where they were purportedly at somebody's bar mitzvah, and some of the shit that they say between the songs, like, we see there are dozens of people out there for this bar mitzvah, and that's amazing, because we've got...
I don't care about that stuff.
Dozens of fans. It's a coincidence. Yeah. And the last bar mitzvah we were at, that kid couldn't draw flies, so you're doing great. Shit like that, I do legitimately like. But, I would say more, because that's the thing that I value about live concerts, I would say live comedy album, because it's comedy. Basically the same thing. Right.
I like comedy. Closing thoughts. Hopefully this has just been one step closer to establishing a
AI.
No, I thought it said L's
first,
but it's AI's dominance over media production. Yeah. They look identical. Enjoy your podcast while you have it.
Dun, dun, dun.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to a1podcast.com, click on the Submit a Fast Five link, and fill out the form.
Use the form.
James, do you have any shout outs?
I do. Shout out to Stephanie for running her first Vill show as host. Stephanie is one of the more recent Villifiers and did a fucking dynamite job hosting this last Saturday. I know that she says that she was panicked the entire time, but she really
pulled it off. For my first time hosting, I absolutely was. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
I know that feels.
And like... Tim and Molly Glover and a bunch of people have just like a polished air to their hosting, but I will say that she did an absolutely phenomenal fucking job, especially for it being her first time.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to give my shout out to YMCA Camp Du Nord up near the Boundary Waters. Not quite in the Boundary Waters, but a mile away from the Boundary Waters. Great fucking time. You can do anything from having a tent to having a big old cabin with plumbing and kitchen.
Nice.
And everything in between. It's a genuinely good time. I enjoyed myself immensely.
Cool.
I don't enjoy myself immensely out with other people that much.
Yeah, not unless you're blocking a safari jeep.
Yeah. Do you have any final or where anything to plug?
I don't have anything to plug at the moment, just yet.
All right. Neither do I, actually. So, any final thoughts?
Bye, bye, love you, bye, bye, bye.
If you... thank you very... It's been a while. I haven't done this in a couple of weeks. In that case, thank you so very much to everybody for listening to this podcast. Thank you to whoever the fuck sent in this Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, may she rest in peace. Eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha. Cha, 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 cha. Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.